It seems like dance is a pretty sure shortcut to a good time. But what if you've got two left feet? Chances are that groundbreaking choreographer Sally Gross could help you out. She was one of the founding members of New York's Judson Dance Theater, which helped to overthrow the rigid rules of ballet and modern dance. Steve Paulson asked Sally Gross to explain her philosophy of dance.
If I don't know by now, I don't know when I'm ever going to know. It's hard to verbalize because mostly it's about the response to what's happening, that each piece becomes a special piece to me. It's not like I go in there with a formal idea and formal phrases, but I come in with a concept. I've worked with people for many, many years, the same performers, when I'm talking about a small company that I have in New York, and I hardly have to either do something or say something, and it's almost as if they intuit what it is I'm thinking about. The particular thing about my work is that I leave a lot of time and space for the dancers within the piece itself. So the piece is structured, but at the same time, within this formal structure, there are no counts. There's just the breath that they're working on and the relationship to each other.
You mentioned breath. How does that figure into dance?
Because that's what we exist on, is the breath. It's the inhale and the exhale that guarantees us that we're living.
But how does that translate that into what people would do on a dance floor?
So if there are no counts to get somewhere, how do you know when to be there? So you're breathing, you can feel the other person breathing, and you get a sense of this is the moment to go. And it's the breath that carries you there.
So you don't necessarily decide this ahead of time. It
Absolutely.
Just kind of happens.
Absolutely, yeah.
You're really talking about
freedom.
Improvisation here.
I'm talking about improvisation. I'm talking about freedom and risk-taking at once.
Now, one of the pieces you created was called The Pleasure of Stillness, and there was a documentary film of the same title made about you. What does stillness mean to you?
Stillness comes to mean that there's movement. We think that still is still. There is no still. Because if you're breathing, if the fluids in your body are moving, you're not still. So there's presence in the stillness.
But it's so interesting to hear a dancer talk about stillness because, of course, you know, the first thing that comes to mind with dance is you're moving, which would seem to be
exactly,
the opposite.
But everybody
from stillness.
Would have said that what comes to mind in silence, in music, in sound is no sound. But of course there's sound, because there's sound in the room even if your hand is not touching the piano. Thank you, John Cage.
I was just going to ask about this. This sounds so much like John
Cage. But it is John Cage. This is joy, and this is play. And if it isn't joyful and playful, then you shouldn't be doing it.
Now, as I listen to you and hear about your philosophy of stillness and movement and the interplay and silence, it sounds kind of Buddhist in some ways, and John Cage was influenced by Buddhism. Are you a Buddhist?
I don't call myself anything, but I do have a practice, and I've been practicing a long time. It's a meditative practice? Yeah, it is. It's Vipassana, which is insight meditation. I'm not waiting for an enlightenment. I'm just hoping I can have an insight. I would be really pleased.
So how has that informed the way you think about dance?
I don't feel like a human being unless I take the time to be in silence and stillness. It becomes my life during the day, and I don't feel separated from it. And it has changed my life in many ways. I think I was always more reactive than responsive, and that's an insight into yourself to realize that you really have to listen, that you have to open your heart. And it's what I hope to do when I'm doing the work that I'm doing.
Now, you were one of the founding members of the Judson Dance Theater, which is typically described as the original postmodern dance company, reacting against Martha Graham and much of what modern dance was doing. What were you trying to do that was different?
I was the perfect person to fit into that because I could never do their techniques. And if I didn't find my own voice, I was really going to get lost in the crowd. You've got to take risks. You've got to find other structures. You can't rely on a piece of music. Got to learn how to use silence. Let's say no music for a piece. And I'm not afraid to make a piece in silence.
But don't modern dancers take risks?
No, most of it is structure. You could look at the ABA structure in music and see the same thing in modern dance. I'm not criticizing all of modern dance, and there wouldn't have been Judson if there hadn't been something else. there wouldn't have been abstract expressionism, and if there hadn't been narrative figurative art. And I think up until that point, it was so much narrative dance. It was the thing about maybe the narrative that the reaction was against.
So there was the sense that, say, if you went to see a Martha Graham performance, there was a story that was being told, and it was theatrical.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, the Graham pieces are still being done.
So what did it mean if you do dance with no narrative then?
Do you want one anecdote?
Yes, please.
You know, the anecdote is when I wrote my own text, the dance really was based on moves from baseball. I was a baseball addict as a child, and I paid attention. And, you know, so I got out there, and I had somebody construct the wall so that I could lean up there and get the catch and the, you know, up against the wall. And this narrative was part of it. It was ongoing. And the critic in the New York Times said, well, I'm paraphrasing it, I think this woman may be insane, but but she sure can run. I was running bases, but he didn't know I was running bases, but I was having a really good time. But I wasn't afraid to take a chance to do that.
I'm struck by the words that you use. I mean, you often talk about movement rather than dance. I think the assumption that comes with dance is that there is a certain training to become a dancer. Are you trying to sort of break down that division between performers and just everyday people?
Well, actually, the people who work with me are all trained, and I could ask them to do things that I couldn't maybe ask somebody untrained.
I mean, what I'm trying to get at is, you know, how you think about movement as opposed to someone else who, you know, has maybe sort of never really thought about how we move in our daily lives.
We would begin with breathing, and we would begin with walking. And generally, if I do a workshop, that's the way it begins. And then we begin with what's known as, what might be called and is called, the four dignities, basic activities that we do, which is really all we do in life. Lie down, then you learn to sit up, then you learn to stand up, and then you learn to walk. And that's basically all we're doing. And just yesterday, a woman who's a writer who knows a lot about movement said, you know, I've been spending too much time in a chair. I need something to get me moving. What should I do? I said, work with the four dignities. So how do you go from lying down to sitting up? And you don't have to do it all in, you know, quickly. You don't have to do it slowly. But then you could decide that you want to do it quicker and slower, and you get the body flowing and the movement flowing. And then you can take it up on your feet, and then you can do the same activities, lying, standing, sitting, and walking. That's where I begin everything.
Do you think most of us just don't really think about our bodies or are not aware of our bodies?
Absolutely. I think we really are all in our minds.
What changes then once we gain this knowledge of our bodies?
Then you can become a more whole person, because then you have a body and a mind, and that's what people have that all animals don't have. We do have a mind, and we have a body.
This sounds like a lesson in life rather than a lesson in dance.
Ooh, have I disappointed you?
No, you've expanded it. Is that what you're after here?
Yeah. Yes. What do they say?
That's choreographer Sally Gross talking with Steve Paulson. There's a documentary out about her work. It's called The Pleasure of Stillness. You can find a link to it on our site, ttbook.org.